ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരവ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗുരുവായൂർ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാനന്ദ സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രജാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സംകീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം ത്വം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സുരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാന്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യനേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിദന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ഹാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഹരി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, last Sunday, we were talking about among the Namayogis, the question from King Nimi and the answer from the sage Chamasa Rishi, the Rishi Chamasa. So, Kavi Hari Andariksha Prabuddha Pipalayanan Avihotra Drumila Chamasa Karabhajana. So, these two sages, Chamasa and Karabhajana, they are answering the questions in this chapter 5. Chamasa and Karabhajana is answering that. So Chamasa Maharshi was asked this question, what will happen to the non-devotees who do not take Krishna shelter in the Kali Yuga? This question came up because King Nimi wanted to know from Chamasa that those who have given all these facilities, When we talk about facilities, what facilities Krishna has provided? Krishna has provided so many facilities to us to realize the self, to understand what we are. And that include all the Vedic literature, particularly the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and several Puranas, Upanishads, Ramayana, Mahabharatam, endless number of literature with knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the soul. All that has been given to us. In addition to that, Krishna has given us so many places of worship, holy rivers, mountains, and temples, and so many places where great, great personalities perform their penances to realize the self. So, all those personalities as examples to us, great sages, great acharyas, great devotees, so many sequences, they have come and they have gone, showing us the way, which way to go in this life. So, Krishna has provided that opportunity also. Krishna has also given us another opportunity in the form of the holy name, Krishna's holy name to chant, and the Maha Mantra also. Krishna has also given us the so many restrictions and rules to maintain a life favorable for spiritual life, favorable for spiritual advancement. Varnashrama Dharmam. So many things Krishna has given to this human society to take advantage of and to realize the self. Even after giving all these things, when one goes after the bodily enjoyment, sense enjoyment, and when one wants to take the material, the human body, only to enjoy the senses and to engage in sinful activities and thereby acquiring so many different bodies, to them, Chamasa Maharshi's answer we were discussing. Chamasa Maharshi was saying, what is the fate of such people who do not take advantage of this human body? As you have seen before, that 8.4 million different species, of that 400,000 forms of the human body, and the remaining are all different bodies for different purposes. And human body has one purpose, that is to understand what he is, what we are, our original true identity, what we are. So that is the realization of the self, or self-realization as it's called. In Shastram it's referred to as Atma Sakshatkaram. Sakshatkaram means of realizing the Atma, the soul. So not doing that is a crime. Not doing that is a crime. Although we don't take it seriously, but that doesn't mean that the crime goes away. It is a crime. And that crime will result in so many things. And that is what we are discussing. Chamasa Maharshi was saying there that among the human species also, certain people are very disadvantaged. Why? Because of the particular body they have. Due to that body, due to excessive attachment to material life, and due to excessive attachment to other bodies, other family members, they are all obstacles in the path of progressing in spiritual life. Generally, our tendency is to put our faith in the temporary things rather than on the permanent thing. The permanent thing is what one should take shelter of. That's Krishna, the soul inside. Instead, we take shelter of the temporary things in this world and we want to find a protection from them. Normally, they say there are three things where we put our faith in. What are they? The first thing, he has faith in his own ability to do things, karmam. In other words, karmam is one factor where people have a lot of faith. They have a lot of faith in the karmam. And the other things they have a lot of faith is in other individuals, that is the society or the family members. Family members and the society, they put a lot of faith in that. That when I am in trouble, they will protect me. This feeling, all the thing. Therefore, that is the only reason what keep people together in a community or in a society. Mutually thinking that, oh, he will help me or somebody else will help me. So this feeling, that means you put your faith in the other people. Not realizing that they are also going to die and go from here. That doesn't come. That thought doesn't come into the head. They're thinking, and often they experience also, after putting faith in so many people, everything fails at the moment when you need the help. So one has the faith in karma, one has the faith in the other individuals. Thirdly, the third thing, they put normally faith in their own assets or material wealth, what they have accumulated. All these three things, you can see anywhere, people who generally put their faith in these three things. And from there they want to find some shelter, find some protection from them. But what Krishna is saying here, as well as in the Bhagavad Gita also, that so long as your faith is based on these three things, it is not possible to understand the soul. It's not possible to understand the soul because you don't need the soul. On the other hand, spiritual life is teaching us that unless you realize the soul, there is no shelter anywhere. There is no shelter anywhere. This is the line that divides between the two, material life and spiritual life. Spiritual life is teaching us one thing, that the true shelter in realizing the self. Only when you realize the self, you have crossed over all your issues, problems. But due to the influence of Maya or the power of illusion, what we generally do, we take shelter of these three things, which are fallible, which are also fallible like us. Our karmam, ability to do karmam and protect ourselves, depends on the ability of the body, material body. When the material body is unable to execute the duty where it wants to do, or due to whatever prarabdham that body has to face with, immediately it becomes useless. Immediately it becomes useless. The body cannot function the way we want that to function, or it cannot offer the protection. Similarly, other things also, other individuals whom we think will give us shelter can also be subjected to their prarabdham or their karmam, and they may not be there to give you that protection, help what we need. But the general tendency among the human society is not to take shelter of the truth, because the truth is the soul, not the body, not the assets, not the karmam, or not the individuals whom are standing there to help you. None of them are the truth. They are all temporary presence. They are all temporarily here in this world to come, and they do their role and they go away. But their duty here is not to protect us or to protect anybody. The actual protection, shelter, is coming from Krishna, which is the soul inside, who is manifested as the individual soul inside. So, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is taking us this illusion away from our mind. Not to put your faith in all these things, rather put your faith in realizing the self, because that is the shelter. That is the point where one should get to. Unless we get there, we will see that one after the other, all our plans do fail in this life. So, there is a strong warning there. Krishna saying, talking about the importance of self-realization. This is the necessity to realize the self. Why have we taken to spiritual life? Because we sense the danger. That janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshana darshanam. These four things, birth, death, old age and disease, is following us continuously. Before we know, we have to become old. Before we know, diseases have come. Before we know, we have to die and leave this body without knowing which direction we are going. And then, according to the vasanas that we have cultivated or the impressions we have in our own consciousness or mind, accordingly, the subtle body will carry you to the next body, where you will start your next life again, another body. So this continuous, repeated change of bodies, birth, death, old age and disease, an intelligent person, when he comes to understand that these are the problems of human life, he should look for the solution. And that solution is not dependent on the temporary manifestations in this world like the wealth, karmam or the individuals. Rather, it depends on the realizing the self. That is the point Krishna is bringing us into. So Chamasa Maharshi is also saying here, having given that opportunity, everyone is not so fortunate to take to spiritual life easily. There are so many, all of us know that, so many obstacles in that path. And that happens in the society to different people in different ways, depending on the body. That's what we are discussing. Stri shudra tulkadha vishravana virahito asadam te dayarha. They particularly require Krishna's mercy. Stri shudra tulkadha vishravana virahito asadam te dayarha. They are qualified or they deserve Krishna's mercy specifically because by birth itself they have certain disadvantages. Attachment home, attachment to children, attachment to family, attachment, so many things attachment. And these attachments are actually restricting them to come to Krishna. They are restricting him to come to Krishna. And therefore, because of that, they are disadvantaged. And therefore, Krishna was asked to show some special mercy towards them. And that's what Chamasamashi is saying here also. That you will see here, Dure harikada kejil, dureja achyutakirtanaha, striyaha shudradayascheiva, te anukambhya bhavadrisham. Krishna's mercy is required here. Krishna's anukamba bhavadrisham. That anukamba means that compassion from Krishna is required towards them, who these category of people that they do not want to, they do not even want to. Some people want to hear about Krishna, but due to prarabdham or due to their difficult situations in life, they are unable to do so, and their mind goes away from Krishna. So they should be given an opportunity by the devotees to hear about them. That is one category. Another category of people is Vipra Rajanya Vaishyauja Hare Prapta Padandigam Shraudena Janmanadhavi Muhyandi Amnayavadina. Amnayavadina means there are other type of people who have studied Vedic literature and they have realized certain things from the Vedic literature. But they didn't understand what Vedic literature is meant for. In other words, Amnayavadina, they found that the Karmakandam in the Vedas particularly attractive because from Karmakandam they realized through Karmakandam they can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy life there. And when that's finished, they want to come back here and execute Karmakandam again and go to heavenly planets. Krishna strongly criticized this. Very strongly, Krishna criticized this mentality of those who are doing that. Because it's against, that is not the purpose of the Vedas, because they are not only doing the wrong thing, they are misleading others also. So therefore, Krishna is not very happy about that. That's why here, Chamasa Maharshi is saying like this, that they got this opportunity, but they do not want to take advantage of that. Tulpadasannayadan Dijagula Janusho Handa Shojam Ashandan. Dijagula Janusho means that they have got birth in the families who are practicing the Karmagandam tradition for a long time. Or in other words, they already had the good fortune to study the Vedic literature from early days in life. But Handa Shojam Ashandan. When you see them, you feel sorry for them. Why? Tulpadasannayatan dijagula janusho handashojamyashandan. They have come very close to Krishna because of their birth and the circumstances they have born into and the opportunity they had in the early days in life to cultivate Krishna consciousness, to associate with Vedic literature. After getting all that opportunity, their heads have gone in the wrong direction. They decided that let me practice this Vedic Karmagandam in order to go to heavenly planets and to enjoy there. Krishna says that's wrong. Tulpada sannayadan dijagula janusho handa shojam ashandan. What do they do? How do they do that? Vrityartham teya jande. They realize that Vedic sacrifices is a way of making a living. Vrityartham. Vrityartham means to just to make a living out of it, without doing any serious work. On the one hand, they want to do this, Karmagandam, practice that, and engage others also into that. Often, public is misguided. When you tell them that do this sacrifice, that sacrifice, you encourage them. They're thinking that, oh, I've done so much nonsense in my life anyway, let me spend some money on this so-called sacrifice, and if I can get out of all my problems, it's not a bad deal, isn't it? That's how he comes for to do perform the sacrifice. Those who are engaging them, they are also trying to tell them that by performing the sacrifice, you'll be getting so many benefits, this benefit, that benefit, wealth, beauty, knowledge, everything is offered. And in this way, it has become more or less a business transaction. So that's why it said, Vrityartham teya jande bahu kathitamabhi. And even if you tell these people, Tvam anakarnayando, they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to know about it. Why bother about soul, spiritual life, Atma, Maya, Jeevan, Brahmam, Karmam, all this? Who cares? That's their attitude. We know what we want, so we'll take that from Vedas. This is their attitude. Bahugadidama vitvam anakarnayando, they won't hear anything. Tritva vidya vijatehi. What is causing this? Their vidya and their abhijatyam. Vidya means they have studied the Vedas. So they feel they have studied everything they have understood. Abhijatyam. Abhijatyam means that coming from the aristocratic birth. That's also another cause of their fall down. Tritvavidhya abhijatyaihim. Then what? Kimunavidhade tadrishamma krithamam. Such a mentality, let that not come to me. Even if you don't make me a devotee, let me not come to that state of consciousness where I find that I'm going against your instructions, against Krishna's instructions. This is an important point. And so you have seen one category of people due to their disadvantaged body or a body which is not totally helpful for advancing in spiritual life, executing spiritual life. Then there are people like this who have got a birth, who got an opportunity, but they have rejected the conclusion of the Vedas. They are going another direction. Now hear about another, a third group of people. What are they? That somehow or the other, some people, they have seen others taking to Krishna consciousness. And they are thinking that why is this man getting involved in spiritual life so seriously? What's the purpose behind it? Either he must have committed a lot of sinful things in his life. That's why he has gone for spiritual life. Look at me. I have not done any sinful things. So I don't have to practice any spiritual life. I don't have to chant the holy name. I don't have to do anything. This is another group of people. All these are different representatives of our own society. Either family members or the society members or the general population is like this. that's why they said papoyam krishna ramedi aghilavadi nijam guhidam duscharitram nirlajjasyasya vajan bahudara kathani yani me vignidhani भ्रातामी वंद्यशीलो निजगिल सदा विष्णुमित्थं बुदास्ते निंदन्दि उच्चैर् हसन्दि तोयि निहितरदिं तादृशमा कृथामाम् देन समटाइम्स अ मेंबर ऑफ द फैमिली ही टेक्स इट अपॉन यू इफ यू स्टार्ट टेकिंग द बीट्स एंड स्टार्ट चैंटिंग द होली नेम If you start getting up in the morning early, if you start worshipping the deity, if you start going to the temple, and if you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, they get upset. They get upset. They think something has gone wrong with you. That's why you are doing all these things. And then what will they say? Papoyam Krishna Rama Edi. That you are chanting this Krishna Rama whole day and night. Why? They're asking this question. Akhila badinijam guhidam duscharitram. Then they start thinking, maybe he is doing it because he must have done something seriously wrong in his life. And now he is trying to wheel around that by acting in this way, that I am a pious person, isn't it? Sometimes it does happen also. It's not that it's all false. Papoyam Krishna Rame Jagilabadi Nijam Guhidam Duscharitram. His history is not very good. The person's history is not very good, they say. And they will discourage you as much as possible so that you don't take to spiritual life. They think that you have a problem. That's why you are executing, you are engaged in spiritual life. They have no idea that spiritual life is the proper life of a human society, human being, not material life. But in their conclusion is that if you are not working hard and earning money and having a position in the society, sometimes when you travel, the people ask you, what are you doing? You say, oh, you're not doing anything. As though you've done a great crime. They think that you should have a job, you should have a salary every month coming in. So, if you say you tell him that you're just reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, of all the books in this world, this is the only book you have found to read. They are shocked that there are people like that in this world, reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and passing their time in this world. Why you're not working? Why you're not getting a salary? Why don't you have a position in the society? What will happen to the family? Next, they'll try to pump as much fear as possible into your mind and make your life so difficult. Pavoyam Krishna Ramedi Akhilabadinijam Guhidam Duscharitram. Then if you're not listening to them, what they will think and they will tell others, look, that man has got some problem in his mind or his history is not very clean. He is now coming and showing that he is a devotee. What all things he has done in his previous life, I know about it. How clever and cunning he was and crooked he was. So, he is now trying to refine himself and he is posing himself to be a devotee. Pavoyam Krishna Ramet Gilabadi Nijam Guhidam Duscharitram Nirlajasya Sevajan Bahudara Kathani Yani Me Vignidhani. That Nirlajasya Sevajan Bahudara Kathani. That whatever you have told him, he has decided to live a life like this. And the relatives and friends, they are feeling a little bit indifference towards you because you have become taken to Krishna's holy names, chanting the holy name. They don't want to associate with you anymore because you are chanting the holy name. Because then the distance widens. The gap is widening at that time. Nirlajasyasya vajan bahudara kathani yani me vignidhani. Then he says, Bhradha me vandhyashilom. One person is saying, I have a brother at home. He says, I have got one brother at home. And this so-called my brother is absolutely useless. He doesn't want to go out and work, earn money, and help the family's financial situation to get better. Or engage in the similar activities like me. Look at me. I'm going for every marriage I'm invited to. I'm there in the front with my present to offer it to them. For any time when somebody dies, I am there first in front of the in the cemetery. I am there to attend. So they have only two business, attending marriages and attending the funerals. This is all the two main occupation in life. No time for anything else because they are so busy with the society. The society is their main backbone, which they think will protect them. Bradame vandya shilo nijagila sada Vishnu itham buddhaste. This is the only thing in their head, marking in the diary. Next marriage and next funeral. Next marriage, next funeral. And organizing this day in and day out. This becomes their habit. Or if you want to add on few things, useful things, like the next birthday party. Wherever that is, which temple is the next birth, make it spiritual, let me in the temple, let it happen. So it becomes spiritual automatically, isn't it? If you celebrate your birthday in the temple, it's a spiritual thing. Up to that time it's material, but once it comes to material, so this is how understanding is. What can you do? Bradame vandya shilo nijagila sada Vishnu mitham buddham stay. Then what does they do? When they see somebody is chanting the holy name, Ningandi Uchair Hasandi. He insults them, saying that this person, he is sitting and chanting the holy name. He hasn't got anything else to do. Look at me. I am with the society all the time, meeting all my friends and relatives, meeting all their needs, looking after them all, making sure that they are all satisfied with my life, and I am satisfied. I have a position in my society. All my relatives, they respect me, how important I am for them, how important they are for me. Like in this way, the so-called person in his social life, he is feeling himself satisfied and he is thinking, that's my shelter. And he has no time to chant the holy name. The result of all this is, there is no time to chant Krishna's holy names or to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Nindandi Uchair Hasandi. And what do? They insult these devotees who are absorbed in Krishna. Nindandi, they insult them, and then if you say anything, Uchair Hasandi, they will laugh. They will brush it aside. Not important. They don't know anything. Look at me. Compared to me, what do they know? I know everything. What this is there. I'm doing everything according to the Dharma Shastram. Nothing I'm deviating. That whatever happens, let me not do this to anybody. This is another prayer to Krishna. You have to pray all these things to Krishna. Toinihidaredim tadrishamma krithamam. Let me not do this, offending and insulting others. Those who are doing such things, their tendency is to insult others. So even if I am not a member of this society, or I am not socializing very well, attending all the marriages and the birthday parties and the funerals, still, at least, let me not offend those who are chanting the holy name. Pavoyam Krishna Ramedi Agilavadinijam Guhidam Duscharitram Nirlajasya Vajan Bahudarakatani Yanime Vignidhani Vratha Me Vandeshilo Nijagila Sadada Vishnumitham Bhutamste Nindandi Ucher Hasandi Toinihidaredim Tadrishamma Akrithamam. Please do not make me one like that person. This personality in the society. So you can see all these categories of people, they are not helpful in Krishna consciousness. None of them can help you in Krishna consciousness. Those who are constitutional position, who are unfortunate, unable to develop spiritually, having a lot of difficulties, those brahmanas who have got the birth but misguiding others through their false understanding, not taking Krishna's words seriously. And then thirdly, this category, who are busy with their material life, in other words, who are so busy with their material life, they have no time for spiritual life. So this is the things what Chamasa Maharshi is indicating here in these verses. Vipra rajanya vaishauja hare prapta padandigam shraudena janmana dhavi Muhyandi Amnayavadinam. Then they get attracted to so many things. Karmagandam is such a wonderful phenomenon that when you get attracted to it, they think that is all the spiritual life is all about. Sometimes when you see the enthusiasm of people to execute karmagandam, that they will execute things in such a way that only karmagandam is important for them. Secondly, that although they understand the importance of spiritual life and to realize the self, they will ignore that part of it. And on the other hand, they will engage in such activities which will provide them with wealth. And also, they will find out from the Shastram of different types of penances, what benefits it will bring to them, like Chaturmasyam, like so many things like that. They will give importance to all those things. And they will start thinking that if I do this, what benefit will I get from that? This is how their mind goes. Everything has to be with some benefit. Otherwise, they will not execute anything. So, this mentality, that business, in other words, with Krishna, that I'll do this, what benefit do I get from that? I'll do this fire sacrifice, what do I get from that? I'll make this offering, what do I get from that? I'll perform so many, even Ekadashi will be executed in that mood. That, what do I get from following Ekadashi? What do I get by going to the temple? What do I get by chanting the holy name? What do I get by reading Bhagavatam? What do I get by taking prasadam? If you start asking all these questions, you can see at that time, Toinihidaradim Tadrishama Kritamam, that let that not happen at any point, because this is business with Krishna. That with so many desires approaching Krishna, or this thing or the other thing, that everything I do for you, I have to have some benefit. Otherwise, I don't want to do anything. This is in other words. Karmanya kovidastabdaha murghaha pandita maninaha. Next verse, verse 6. Karmanya kovidastabdaha murghaha pandita maninaha vadandi chadugan mudhaha yaya madhva girol sugaha. What else he says? Karmani akovidaha. That they are not very experts in karmam either. Because their mind is more focused on the result, more than the karmam. That's what happens. When the mind is more focused on the karmam, than on the result, the karma will not go very well. And then, stabdaha murkhaha, and stabdha, they also have that false arrogance in them, that I'm executing this, so I must have the result. Murkhaha, and ignorant they are, panditamaninaha. At the same time, they will act as though they are very learned. And, vadandi chadugan mudhaham, that vadandi chadugan mudhaham, that they will talk to you very nicely because they think they know what they are talking about and they won't show any hesitation there. They will talk to you everything nicely in such a way, and they'll try to bring you around in their way of thinking. Yaya madhva girol sugaham, that, and their enthusiasm is only for getting the results. Only for getting the results. Krishna says about this in the Bhagavatam later. How does he say that? Krishna says there that these things can happen particularly for the householders. It is a householder who jump into this well very easily. The sannyasis and brahmacharis, they are on their own world. They don't bother. They proper brahmacharis and proper sannyasis. Nowadays it's all different. So proper sannyasis and proper brahmacharis, they will not fall into this category. They will not fall into this trap. This trap is mostly referred to householders. Because householders are the one who are always busy in this world, isn't it? With various activities. They need to do something with expecting some results. So that's what it is said like this here. That madhva agirol sugaham, that their desires will come in different ways and disturb them. So therefore, it is spoken here that kamya karmam. Kamya karma means fruitive activity. Fruitive activity must stop. First thing, that this fruitive activities will lead into other problems later. That is why Krishna has spoken about fruitive activities so strongly. The whole of karma yogam, actually strictly speaking, Karma Yogam and Bhagavata Dharmam, they are more or less similar thing. There's not much difference. Bhagavata Dharmam and Karma Yogam, in practice, it's not much difference. Only thing is, Bhagavata Dharmam is Karma Yogam, if you attach bhakti towards that, which will develop into bhakti, that association with bhakti becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. But otherwise, in basic principle of Karma Yogam and Bhagavata Dharmam is the same. If you look into the verses, like Krishna say, the Kavi Maharshi said that, isn't it? He said like that before. He said that earlier in the Kavi when he was talking Kayena Vaja, Manasendriva, Budyalpanava, Pragrade Subhava, Karodi Adit Sakalam, Parasmai, Narayana Yedi Samarpayami. That is Karma Yogam, nothing but Karma Yogam. Whatever you do with your mind, body, words, everything offered to Krishna. That is Karma Yogam. So Karma Yogam and Bhagavad Dharmam are very much similar. And now in this here, in this you can see that Krishna, while talking about this householder, Krishna's some of the injunctions, people find it very difficult to accept it. Very, very difficult to accept it. They will say, first thing they will say when you read Bhagavadam and when we talk about the instructions to householder, Grihastha Ashramam, first they will listen to everything. As soon as they go out of the room, one will tell the other, this is all not practical, not possible. This will be the first statement that will come out from them. This is called transcendental bacteria. It's like an infection. You are coming to hear Bhagavadam about what Krishna has spoken, and our mind is not willing to accept what Krishna is saying. What Krishna is saying, you're finding it difficult to accept it. Krishna is saying some strong words there about householder. And if he is not careful, what will end up, how it will end up, the life. He is warning us and he is telling us that beware of these things and develop this kind of nature in householder life so that you don't suffer, you don't fall. And such a householder, Krishna respects. Krishna doesn't want him to go into hell. Therefore, he is saying like that. That is in the Ekadasha Machika later. It comes like that. And there, while talking about this, he said, Vipashil Nashwaram Pashil Adrishtam Abhidrishtaval. That is words from Krishna. Vipashil Nashwaram Pashil Adrishtam Abhidrishtaval. He says, householder should 24 hours think like this. What is that? Everything what he is working for in this world so hard is temporary. Vipashil Nashwaram Pashil Adrishtam Abhidrishtaval. Nashwaram, everything is temporary. And for a temporary thing, one should not endeavor very hard. This is Krishna's point. Krishna's point is that look for the permanent thing. What is permanent? Everything is temporary in this world, isn't it? Creation, if you look at it, the whole creation is temporary. The body is temporary. Mind is temporary. Intelligence is temporary. Even the false ego is temporary. The senses are temporary. Nothing but a temporary things, all. And with temporary things, we are trying to satisfy other temporary things. This is what we are doing. Krishna says, in all these things, there is only one thing, which is permanent, lasting, ever existing, never dies. And that is what you are. So instead of realizing, freeing from all these bondages, temporary things have come upon us, in the form of mind, body, intelligence, senses, and the material nature, escaping from that and come to that permanent position, up to that point, one has no freedom. That's why Krishna is saying like that. Vipaschil nashwaram bashel. He should see what is permanent in all these things. That's why the same thing in the Bhagavadam, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins with that verse. Na sate vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sadha. Then, this is the first thing to know. What exists, always exists. What doesn't exist or existing temporarily has no permanent existence. It is only a temporary existence. In other words, if you follow after these temporary objects like the body, mind, senses, family, society, it will all lead into serious disappointment at the end. Very serious disappointment. Why? Because at the time of death, you will realize that I have spent 60, 70 years of my life, this human body, in satisfying the needs of all these temporary objects, who themselves will not go with me. They will also leave me. Then what will go with us? What are we? That's the only thing we go. The soul. So instead of vipaschil nashuram pashel, so this realization, Krishna says, is so important. Adrishtam abhidrishtaval. That even what to talk about this world, Krishna says, what to talk about this world, even the heavenly planets, which we have not seen even, which we have not seen. We have not even seen the heavenly planets. With about heavenly planets, we only know from the Vedic literature, isn't it? Or from the Shastram, we know that heavenly planets exist, and the life standard, living standards in the heavenly planets are much higher, isn't it? This is all what we know about heavenly planets. Krishna is saying, even those heavenly planets are temporary. Even the heavenly planets are temporary. One should not be aspiring to go there. This is Krishna's... Krishna is telling the who else can tell us this except the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created all these things. And he is telling us that even those temporary heavenly planets should not cause an attraction to the to human society, to those who wants to come to the spiritual life. This is the point Krishna is reminding us. Vibhaschilna shuram vashel adrishtama vidrishtaval, that they are not even seen and they are not permanent. They are not even permanent. What to talk about this world, what you are seeing today, what to talk about that, he says. So neither this world nor the heavenly planets are permanent. They are all places of temporary places where one has to go and leave. One cannot stay there. So therefore, this point is being stressed here. Then karmanya govida stabdha murgha pandita maninaha vadandi chaduvan mudha yaya madhva girol sugaha. Then rajasa ghora sangalpaha kamuga ahimanyavaha dambhiga maninaha pava vihasandhya chuda priyan. Not only that, the main difficulty with karmam is this, that as much as your enthusiasm or your commitment or seriousness in karmam increases, with that the desire will build up inside, because karmam has come from rajogunam. Because the very karmam activities in the material world is all based on rajogunam. So rajogunam is the cause of that. And if you are shraddha, or if you become very seriously involved in karmam, it will develop into kamam, to material desires, which will in turn will develop into krodham, into anger. And in due course of time, it will develop into false ego also. You will only build up your own false ego. And that is the difficulty. Therefore, if you increase the rajogunam, if you increase karma, means you are increasing the rajogunam. Rajogunam is increasing in a person. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna spoke the same thing. Same thing. Yeah, it's not different at all. What did Krishna say? Krishna says there that kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samulbhava. All this karmam, what we are executing in this world, the purpose of karmam is not keep on doing karmam throughout the life. That's not the goal. Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samulbhava. That kamam and krodham, they have come from rajogunam. So once you increase the desires, increase the karmam, the result will be rajogunam will increase. With the result, karma will increase, and it will tend to go in that cycle all the time. So that's why it is not recommended. So not only that, with the result of that will be the desire for enjoying senses will increase. Because when you work very hard and you are earning a lot of money, naturally, one day you'll start thinking, what shall I do with all this money? I need to enjoy life also, isn't it? Quite often you see people saying like that. Very rich people, their concern is how to use this money to enjoy. Very poor people, their concern is how to make money. So, where is the end to this? Krishna is asking. Neither this nor that is permanent. You're wasting your time on both sides. So, in order to make us aware of the disastrous effect of karmam, Krishna has spoken about that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and now here Chamsa Maharshi is also saying the same thing, that come out of karmam. Karmam will not help you to realize. Karmam cannot help you to realize. Karmam will only entangle you, will bind you to this world further and further. More desires, more actions, more attachment, more actions, more bondage. And where did karmam begin from? Ignorance. Avidya, kama, karmabhi. From avidya is ignorance. From their desires, and then karmam came. And karmam, and then desire, from desires, action begins. And from action, attachment, desire, action, and then with the action, bondage to the material world. So, therefore, in the Chamasamaharshi is saying, Rajasa Khora Sangalpaha, Rajoguna is cursed here. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look the same thing, beautifully, Krishna speaks about this in the Karma Yogam chapter. He says there, isn't it? Also in the second chapter. That Kama Yesha Krotha Yesha Rajoguna Samulbhava Mahashano Mahapapna Vidyayana Miha Vairinam. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you have only these enemy. Mahashana. Mahashana means, Ashana means the hunger. Yeah, Mahashanam. It is such a hunger to do this karma. Once that hunger builds up inside, some people you have seen, they can work 20 hours a day, 22 hours. Sometimes they can work 3-4 days continuously. And they think that they are doing something. And it is this ashanam inside. Ashanam means this hunger for doing karma. And Krishna calls this as Mahashanam. Like Mahaprasadam, Krishna calls it. Mahashanam, Mahapapnam. And what does that create? Mahapapnam. It will only create heavy sinful reactions from that karma. That Ugra karma they execute. Mahashanam Mahapapnam Vidhyenam Ihavairinam. Remember Arjuna, these two are your greatest enemies. Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha Rajoguna Samulbhava Mahashanam Mahapapna Vidhyenam Ihavairinam. They are all coming from Rajogunam. So remember Arjuna, Rajogunam is your enemy. So it is that Rajogunam Chamasamaharshi is also saying here. Krishna puts it in one way, Chamasamaharshi puts it in another way. That's the only difference. Chamasamaharshi says here, Rajasa Ghora Sangalpaha Kamuga Himanyuaha Dambhiga Maninaha Papa Vihasandi Achuda Prayan. What will happen to them is that when they engage in karma because of Rajogunam, they will have Ghora Sangalpaha. What does Ghora Sangalpa means? Ghora Sangalpa means Sangalpam is that thing which we build up inside, in the mind. Sangalpam and Vigalpam, two things. Sangalpa means looking at different options and making some decisions inside. That this is the way I want to live my life. That is Sangalpam. It's a kind of Sangalpam. Have you seen while performing sacrifices also, the priest who is doing the executing the sacrifice or performing the sacrifice, he will have a sangalpam. What is that sangalpam? He will ask the yajamanin who is paying for the sacrifice. He will ask him, what's your sangalpam? So the man will say, oh, I want to have a baby. My wife wants to have a baby and it should be a boy. So this priest will chant the Vedic hymns while offering the ahuti into the fire to fulfill that sangalpam in him. That is his sangalpam, isn't it? So the priest has to ask the person who is paying for this sacrifice, what's your sangalpam? Or something else he may have. I don't know. In the olden days, there was no getting a job or anything. So that was not the sangalpam. But having a child in the family or getting married, these are all different sangalpams people have. Completely material, nothing to do with spiritual life. And these priests and these visitors, they are happy together to do this. So this all comes from where? From Rajogunam. The origin is Rajogunam. Rajogunam is the cause of all these things. So Rajaha Ghora Sangalpaha. Ghora Sangalpam. Sometimes their Sangalpam can be so bad in the sense, such heavy Sangalpam they will perform, they will come to Krishna. What kind of Sangalpam? Sometimes they will say even that if I win the lottery, I will offer you half of it. At least let me win. This is Ghora Sangalpam. Ghora Sangalpam it is. Such kind of understanding of Krishna consciousness. That they are thinking that, what am I doing wrong? I am also going to Krishna. Let Krishna give me what I want, then I give him 50%. And he can have 50, I'll have 50. He's happy, I am also happy. This is their mood. This way people come to Krishna. And then there are so many things like this, so many material desires, which has come from Rajogunam. And to fulfill that, they come to Krishna with their sangalpam. That's why it said here, Rajasa Ghora Sangalpaha Kamuka Ahimanyavaham. That because of this intense desire burning inside, if it does not materialize, they become very frustrated. And then they get very angry like the snake. Like the snake. They'll bite you. That they'll say to you that I have prayed so many things to Krishna, nothing happened. I got nothing. Why should I waste my time? That'll be the next step. They'll say this to you openly. That you can waste your time going to the temple. I don't have time anymore for Krishna. I've gone there and so many times I've requested some. Nothing, I got it. I got nothing from Krishna. So why should I go? This is how they have understood. That's why he's saying here, this is also a product of Rajoganam. Kamuga ahimanyavaham. Then, dambhiga maninaha. Dambhiga maninaham. Then, they'll also cheat others. And they'll also be very proud of their position in the society or the wealth what they have got. And they are thinking, I am properly situated now. Are they not? Dambhigaha. Ahimanyavaha dambhigaha maninaha papa vihasan achyutapriyaha. If you look into their life, there will be loads of sinful activities going on behind the scene. And then, after making money and enjoying life, and then when they come to Krishna to fulfill their plans, they will also say like this, vihasandi achyutapriyaha. If somebody is serving Krishna with a desire for advancing spiritually or to develop Krishna consciousness, they make fun of them as well. They make fun of them as well. They think that, why is he not making money like me? Look at me. Morning to night I am making money. And this guy, he just sits there. He doesn't want to do anything. He is simply chanting this word. Chanting alone doesn't work, he says. He says, you have to work hard first. And then you can chant if you have time. Not otherwise. So this is the type of dharmam, what is goes on in this world, and they will cheat the world with their so-called dharmam. That when it gets worse, they will start making fun of devotees, those who are properly situated. Vadandi danyo inemuba asidastriyo griheshu maithunya pareshu cha shishaha yajanya srishtanna vidhana dakshinam. Then, along with the Rajoganam, you see, Krishna has not spoken about Tamoganam here so much. It's mostly about Rajoganam. You must notice that. In Bhagavad Gita also, Tamoganam means hopeless situation. There's nothing you can do there. It is a hopeless situation. It takes time. You have to give time to them to come out of that Tamoganam. Whereas Rajoganam, there is a little spark there. If properly spoken to them, it might click in their head that what they are doing is wrong. But even that is very difficult because Rajoganam is a very powerful fire in a person. That fire is very powerful. Rajoganam is a very powerful thing. Then, because from Rajoganam, due to continuous association with Rajoganam and activities in Rajoganam, what will happen to them is, their desires will increase day by day. And the result of that is that they will degrade themselves. That degradation comes in different forms. Degradation comes in different forms. Because the greatest opportunity for happiness in material life is sex life. And they will get victimized by that. First thing they'll get victimized by that. And that will not allow them to understand the very finer principles of Krishna consciousness. That very determination of the mind and the intelligence to stick to the path of Krishna consciousness and to realize the truth, that determination will go away from them. So their spiritual life will be very much on the surface and it will last for some time and then they will fall from that position. That's what he is saying here. That vadandi danyonyam upasidastriyoho anyonyam upasidastriyoho anyonyam. Mutually, what the subject they will talk about each other is enjoying with women. That will be their topic of discussion. And upasidastriyaha, and they take great pleasure in their service to them. That they think that that is the main business in life. And what else do they do? In order to keep that happiness going, they are willing to engage in as many hours of work is necessary. And ഇന്ന് ഈ ഭഗവത്ഗീത കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് ദിസ് ദേർ ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് ഇതമധ്യാമയേ ലബ്ധം ഇമം പ്രാപ്സേ മനോരഥം ഇതമസ്തി ഇതമഭിമേ ഭവിഷ്യതി പുനർധനം. If you're talking about divine and the demoniac nature, this verse comes in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, idam maya labdham, idam maya labdham, idam adhyamaya labdham, imam prapye manoratham. Today I have made so much, and tomorrow with my planning and proper execution of my plans, I'll make so much more. And then what will I do? Idam asti idam abhime bhavishyati punardhanam. In this way, my wealth will keep on increasing in this world. And by the age of 50, I'll be driving a BMW. I'll have my apartment in the Mayfair. And I'll be going on holidays all over the world. And this way, I will be the person living the proper life in this world. That, see how that rajogunam increases in a person. And you will come into all these kind of conclusions. All these kind of conclusions. They will take that this is all the perfection of life. Because he does not even know that this rajogunam inside is dictating these things to him. He is not aware of that. He is thinking that in this life I have achieved everything what I have to achieve. And one day, whether Mayfair or elsewhere, you have to go. No matter where you live. At the end you have to leave this so-called body which you have been giving you, which you were identifying all along as yourself. That body also will leave you. That body will also leave you. So Krishna is saying, those who are in that state of consciousness, idam mayam idam labdham, imam prapse manoratham, they are on their mental chariot, manoratham. That will go on, that will keep them going in this life. That is their happiness in life. And I have done everything to please my family. I looked after my children. I looked after my wife as much as I could. And I have acquired everything what a human being should acquire in this life. My life has been perfect. Now I have retired. I have made enough money. And I am going to be... Now I will do some spiritual activities. He comes to that point. At that time. That... So, those people, yajanya srishtan avidhana dakshinam vrteparam gnanti pashuna tadvidaha. Those people, when they come to spiritual life, first thing what they do, what they can do with the money. So, with the money, they want to do some spirituality. They want to show to the world. How do they do that? With the money, they try to engage others in performing some sacrifices, some yagam or homam or whatever. That can be done with the money. Engage other people. And all these people who have taken money from him will tell him how magnanimous you are, how kind you are, that you are such a religious person, you are using your wealth in engaging all these sacrifices, so you must be very advanced spiritually. These conclusions they will, and then people will say this to them and they feel happy from that. And these are the things Krishna is, Chamasamaharshi is talking about, the fate of the non-devotees. Fate of the non-devotees. Yajanda srishtana vidhana dakshinam vrte paragmandi pashuna tadvidaha shriya vibhutya vijanena vidyaya tyagena rupena balena karmana jadasmayena antadiya saheshwaran sato avamanyandi haripriyan khalaham. That the nature of that false pride in them, that is what is spoken here in a little description of that, the false pride. Then, because they have wealth and because they have powerful relatives, and also some of them have studied Shastram also to some degree, they have knowledge of that, due to their so-called charitable activities, and plus the fact that they have some bodily beauty and physical strength, and they have got people to do different karmam for them, shraudham and smartham. Shraudham and smartham are those discussed in the Shruti and Smriti. So all these different kinds of sacrifices for the benefit of the family, they will execute. They'll use their wealth to do all that. That's what generally happens. Even you can see in marriages also, that they want to hire the best priests. And they give them a lot of dakshina and tell them, look, do everything properly. I pay you what you want. Do it for me. He sits there enjoying, look, my son is getting married.
And now they will earn a lot of money like me I have done. And they will also earn a lot of money. And they will be a perfect example like me in this world. The old man is thinking about his offspring. And the son is thinking they are dressed up purely for this marriage. And he is also thinking, is the priest chanting everything properly? And then the marriage happens. Like this, this whole dream state is going on in their head. Chamsamashi is warning that here, that this false ego in there is so strong. What is right and what's wrong, even they don't know. When they are doing it. What's right and what's wrong, they don't know. And not only that, once in a way, they will invite some devotees also to make them feel I am very kind to them. And they will feed them and give them an opportunity to talk some Krishna Katha. And like this, they will waste their time also. So this is what it is saying, that how things can degrade with people. Purpose of spiritual life is not all these things. This is all completely coming from the materialistic consciousness. Nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life is totally independent of this. Spiritual life is when we take what Krishna has spoken about it seriously, what he said in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and understand the message in the line of the great devotees and great acharyas. That is spiritual life. But falsely, we give a cover, a garb of these things to our material desires and make it spiritual to appear in this world. That's what goes on all the time. So that's what Krishna is saying, the condemning here. Chamsamashi is saying this. That is their nature. Sarveshu shashvat tanubral savastidam yedhakham almanam abhishtam ishwaram vedobagidam chana shrunvade abhudaha manoradhanam pravadan divartaya. Then, if you tell them about the absolute truth, Krishna, who is existing in all living entities as the soul, as a living entity in everyone, and ask them to respect every living entity in that way, they say, no, why for? What for? He is useless, he has not made any money in his life, why should I respect him? This will be his attitude. He is thinking that only those who have made money are successful in life, those who didn't make money in life, they are not successful. So he is saying here, Sarveshu shashvat tanubral savastidam yadhakham almanam abhishtam ishwaram. Everywhere they will refuse to recognize the presence of Krishna in every living entity. That is the first thing. They will refuse to recognize the presence of Krishna in other living entities. Vedobagidam chana shrinvade abhudaham. That if you talk to them about Krishna's abode and going back to Krishna, they have no interest to hear that because they are in the middle of driving their mental chariot. They are busy with that mental chariot. And they are busy with all those things which are associated with that. And they will justify everything what they are doing with the scriptural authority. This is the beauty of that. They'll justify everything with the scriptural authority. How do they do that? They will ask like this. Look, you are telling us that you should not eat meat. You are telling us you should not drink alcohol. You are telling us you should not associate with immoral way with opposite sex. You are saying all these things. But look at the Vedic literature. So many instances you find that so many princesses, Krishna himself married 16,000 wives. Why can't I marry one at least? This will be his first argument, isn't it? They will bring that forth first. Then he will say, why do you call it illicit sexual relationship? What's wrong with that? Krishna was dancing with the gopis. Why can't I dance with at least one gopi? This is another argument. In this way, similarly they will say, in some sacrifices they will quote from the Vedic literature and say that look, meat was offered in the literature. So many people have come forward and said, in the sacrifices, Ashwamedham and all that, the animal is killed and they have eaten the meat. And there are reports in the Purana, some sages eating the meat. So why you are stopping me from eating meat? This is another question they will put forward. So they don't want to follow the rules regarding marriage, rules regarding eating meat. Then if you tell them the problems with intoxication, they will say to you, why not? Because there is this somarasam they are drinking, the demigods are drinking in the heavenly planets. Why can't at least I not have the scotch whiskey here? This is their argument. I'm not asking for the imported from the heavenly planets. All I'm asking, that is available locally in the shops. What's wrong with that? So, and then they will say, Yudhishthira Maharaj was gambling in Hastinapur, so why can't I go to the horse racing and engage in that? If you ask these questions, what answer can you give them? And that is what the next verse is about. Because people are like this, and their mentality is like this, they refused to accept the conclusions of the Vedic literature. Association with women, sex life, alcohol drinking, eating meat, gambling, these are not what Vedas are talking about. But they will pull out these paragraphs, the references, and that is their authority in Vedic literature. Those things are mentioned in the Vedic literature. Why it is mentioned, that is spoken in the next verse. Why it's mentioned like that? Let's look at that. That while doing all these things, because these four things particularly develop qualities which are not favorable for advancing in the spiritual path. That is why it's forbidden, and they are not acceptable at all from the spiritual point of view. But because they engage in these things, they will not be able to recognize the presence of the Absolute Krishna, Supreme Personality, presence in all other living entities. They will never realize it, the presence of the Supreme Lord in other living entities. That is what is pointed out here. That important point, that that because of this, because they don't want to hear about Krishna and Krishna's position, what will happen is that they are busy with their body and bodily necessities. They even ask the question that I am following the Vedic injunctions properly. I don't know about Krishna, what he has come for and what he is doing. I'm not bothered, but I'm following the Vedic injunctions properly. In other words, he is doing everything what he wants to do with the support of the Vedic literature. Such people will find it very difficult to understand that the goal of life is higher than all these things. That's what it is spoken here. So, in the next verse, let's look at that. Loge vivaya amisham adya seva nityastu jandor mahidatra chodana vivastiristeshu vivahayatyam suragrahairasu nivartirishtaham. These four things. Loge vivaya amisha madhya seva. Vivayam misha madhya seva. Vivayam means association with the opposite sex. For men it is women, and for women it is men. Vivayam. Amisha means eating meat. And madhyaseva. Madhyaseva is simple, drinking alcohol. These three things. Nityastu jandor nahi tatra chodana. You don't have to teach anyone how to do these things, do you? You don't have to. Because why? Because we were doing these things in the previous bodies. When we were engaged as a monkey, or as an elephant, or as a hog, or a dog, because we have come through all these things, isn't it? While coming through all these bodies, we have brought these vasanas with us. We have brought these vasanas with us. That is why, without any training, or inducing a person to do it, it is much easier for the human society to take to it. Nobody has to tell them, oh, you should drink alcohol. No. His mind will naturally go in that direction. Why? Because the vasanas are already there inside. That you forget that. It's already there in that. So, if we have such pure vasanas, we won't be here first of all. The fact that we are in the material world here, it's because of all these vasanas that brought this body here to us. So as soon as we start thinking, Loge vivaya amisham adya seva nityastu jando nahi tatra chodana, nobody has to encourage him in that direction, because there is no injunctions to do these things. Why? vivahayajne vivasthiristeshu vivahayajna suragrahai asu navrtireshtaham. Then vivahayajna suragrahai, vivaha means marriage, yajna means sacrifice, suragrahai that means sautramani. Sautramani is that sacrifice for drinking the somarasam in the heavenly planets. That this system has been set up in the Vedic literature for one reason only. What that reason is, that because these vasanas are so strongly in us by very nature itself, Vedas is putting certain restrictions on us. Vedas doesn't want us to increase these vasanas anymore, because in human body that animalistic vasana is very strong. Strictly speaking, when we come out of the animal body to human body, we are 99% animal and 1% human in the first day. For the first time when we get that body, we are 99% animal and 1% human. As it goes over and over with development of spiritual culture and understanding of spiritual life and one execution of spiritual life, you get freed from this animal propensity. 99 becomes 90, 85, 80, 75. Like that it comes down. So by the time you get about 50%, is that the one, up to 50% and all, if you are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam here, you won't even enter into the room. You will go through that corridor. You will go somewhere else. Because this, that inside propensity won't allow you to hear. It won't allow you. That is the problem. It won't allow you to hear Bhagavatam. Why? Because the other 51% or 51% these propensities which come from the animal society, that will overpower you. By the time you get about 40 or 35, it is at that time you start opening the door and coming in. And even after coming, there is still about 40% almost still left inside. It is with that 40% is that when you sit and sleep. It is at 40% that sleep goes on in the Bhagavatam class or in the Bhagavad Gita class. You are still asleep. You are not woken up. We are not become a human being yet. We are still changing from that animal body to the proper human body. It's only externally we appear human. But inside is all animal. What can you do? The inside is all totally animal. That is why you can see the rest of the world, watch the news all the time. What do you see? Is there any difference between the animal society and the modern human society? Absolutely nothing. Practically nothing. Why? Majority of them have they just entered into the human body. That is why they are able to take the gun and start shooting straight away the very next day. This propensity to defend, where is it coming from? If with a self-realized soul doesn't go on defending himself, does he? Because his realization has come to perfection. There is nothing to defend in this world. He has realized. What is this thing we are defending about? This temporary material body, this is what we are defending, isn't it? So this idea of defense, idea of mating, idea of eating, idea of sleeping, all these things have come from that animal body. Eating, sleeping, sex life, defense. All these things are nothing but the influence of what we have brought with us from the animal body. Now, having got the human body where there is a possibility of freeing yourself from these propensities, instead we go down in the same route what we did in that body, what we did in the other bodies. Why? What's the purpose of having a human body? This is what Chamsa Maharshi is saying here. So what the Vedas have done is, Vedas recognize we have these propensities. That's the beauty of the Vedic literature. Vedic literature is not telling you straight away that you give up everything overnight and become so pure. They are not expecting that from us. So therefore, they have made concessions to us. Some concessions they have given to us. What are that concession? Concession is like this. If you cannot avoid associating with the opposite sex, or if you are finding it difficult to restrict yourself, your mind, or the or causing havoc in the community, in the society. Best thing to do, get married and live, be satisfied with one wife and live peacefully with that. So it is actually a concession that's been given to us. Not the purpose of the Vedic literature is not to tell us, go and get married first day itself and enjoy your life, acquire wealth, and this is the whole purpose of the life. That is not Vedic injunction. That is not the Vedic injunction. But we twist the whole thing in such a way, oh, I am strictly following the Vedas, and therefore I have found a wife now. Now together we will enjoy life, and together we will make money, and this is the whole goal. I am following strictly the Vedic path. No, that's not. That's not. This is a concession given to us so that the mind don't get disturbed. Because sense enjoyment means what? It disturbs the mind. To acquire the sense enjoyment, you have to run around for meeting the desires. So therefore, at least restrict that. By marriage, this desire for sex life is restricted. At least satisfied with one wife and live that married life in such a way that you don't get implicated and continue completely lost in that process, in material life, and completely lost in that process. And therefore, Krishna talks about grihastha dharmam. Grihastha ashrama dharmam, in many, many chapters, you will see how one should live in the household of life. Careful about the executing the even the household of life. Otherwise, this married life is not going to take you back home, back to Godhead. That's not the goal of married life. That is, we have made up this philosophy to suit ourselves. That if we get married and live a married life, maybe together we will do Krishna consciousness. That's all not practically happening all the time. So the thing is to remember here is what Shamasa Maharshi says here. Loge vivaya misha madhya seva nityastu jandor nahi jatra chodanam vivasti isteshu vivaha yatyam suragrahe asu nivartirishtaha. This is all meant for not for pravrti, but rather for nivrti. That means by getting married and living a controlled life, there is a possibility of escaping from that desire of sex life. To escape from the desire of sex life, marriage is recommended. That is why it's called nivrti. By, therefore, so many rules and regulations in married life to follow. And keeping always the goal as spiritual, going back to Krishna and realizing the self. That's the goal. Not all these marriages and having children and making money. They are not the whole purpose of that. And therefore, marriage is recommended in order to restrict oneself. Similarly, while eating meat is concerned, what normally happens? When meat eating becomes very prominent in the society, automatically the harmful effect, forget about that. The sinful reactions of that, also forget about it. But think about that. Eating this meat, if that becomes a habit, in order to support that meat industry, and in order to support that, the sinful activity, you have to continuously subject innocent living entities for your sense gratification, who have not done anything to you. They have not done anything to you, but just to satisfy your tongue, and just to satisfy your bodily desires, you are willing to give pain to another living entity in whom Krishna is also present as the soul. That's the point we forget there. They have gone so blind in these things, they're unable to recognize that that living entity also is functioning because of the presence of Krishna in them. Whether it is a cow, whether it is a pig, whether it is a goat, whether it is a chicken, doesn't matter what it is. Any living entity, there is Krishna's presence there as a soul inside. So due to that, the effect will be that he cannot progress spiritually. This is all blockage in the path. So therefore, if you cannot give up eating meat, Shastra says, perform sacrifice in which you can kill an animal, and in that process you can eat some meat. Something is allowed, certain things are allowed. That means you have to perform the sacrifice for that, which means a lot of endeavor. Not that you maintain huge slaughterhouses and make it as a business out of it and make that, oh, I'm doing everything perfectly according to the Shastram. That is not allowed. So that's why it is said, it is all to bring restrictions on us. If you do in these way, at least that temptations or that desire for these sinful activities will come down. So first, by marriage, it is sex life is restricted. Through sacrifices, meat eating is restricted. Similarly, if you have to engage in drinking alcohol, if it is an absolutely necessity, it's a must, then perform this sacrifice called Sautramani. There are so many Vedic injunctions like this. And once when you are allowed to do that, and in that particular day, and that not every day it's not allowed, only when specific occasions, under specific conditions, you are allowed to consume. So certainly, if it is unavoidable, if it is something which is so difficult to give up, so then this is allowed. This is allowed in that conditions. Similarly, not only in the Karmakandam, it says here that even in relationship with the propensity to gamble has come from greed, isn't it? Greed is the cause behind it, and therefore that is also forbidden from the spiritual point of view. And normally, this desire for gambling and desire for accumulating wealth generally comes from the other three sinful activities due to drinking, alcohol and eating meat. If one lives a sattvic way of life or based in sattuganam, such things will not even enter into the mind. Such a desire will not even happen to that. So Chamasa Maharshi is saying here that all these restrictions in the Vedic literature is not to encourage us to increase it, rather to control us. That's the purpose behind it. That's why it is said here, Loge vivaya misham adya seva nityastu jandor nahi tatra chodana vivasthidisteshu vivaha yajnam suragrahai asunivrtirishtaham. That that desires which are in us, as long as we recognize that this has come from the animal body, that's where we acquired all these desires, and that has followed us in this life. And when we develop this kind of desires in us, what will happen? The bodily identity will increase. When the bodily identity increases, the result will be we will identify with the land of birth. We will identify with the other bodies as relatives to us. And sthanal, Krishna says like this. Krishna says, "Ye ashu brashade swatal asatyam abhiniveshada." Because you are holding on to the falsity, false things, you will immediately fall down. Then you cannot advance anymore spiritually. In other words, you will completely be caught up in the Maya. Maya will take control of you. And that is why, first, to free oneself from Maya, Shastram is talking to us in a language we can understand. And that too, they are not immediately imposing everything on us. They are saying, if it's absolutely unavoidable, then follow this principle and live in such a way that you can come out of these animalistic propensities from that. That is the goal behind it.
Dhanam cha dharmaika phalam yato vai jnanam savijnanam anuprashanti griheshu yunjanti kalebarasya mrityum na pashyanti durandavīryam. Dhanam cha dharmaika phalam yato vai jnanam savijnanam anuprashanti griheshu yunjanti kale barasya mrityum na pashyanti durandavīryam.
The disastrous results, what comes from that is mentioned here. That when one is too much attached to another form, another material body, that means in relationship with man and woman, if that attachment increases, that he will not understand Krishna. That
It will take away. Bodily attachment means that spiritual knowledge will not develop inside. That is the biggest obstacle from that. That whereas on the other hand, jnanam savijnanamanu prashandi, one who execute these principles very strictly, very easily the knowledge will develop in a person like that. Jnanam savijnanamanu prashandi, that griheshu yunjandi kalaye barasya mrityam na pashyandi durandavīryam. That griheshu, that wealth that is acquired in this life, he uses for bodily maintenance rather than for serving Krishna. That is the biggest problem. And in addition to that mrityam na pashyandi durandavīryam, that because he loses all his strength by old age, he loses all his strength, he is unable to see that thing called death that is waiting at the doorstep. He is not able to recognize it. This is the problem. That when one engages in these sinful activities, the result will be that he will not turn his mind towards Krishna, or in other words, towards self-realization. He will not see that the death is waiting at the doorstep. He cannot notice, he cannot find it, he cannot see it. All the time, he will be busy with this family and family life. In other words, that's what is spoken about here. That, so naturally, automatically, his enthusiasm fades in spiritual life. And it becomes the priority, develops into advancing on the material life. So, Chamsa Maharshi goes on talking. There's a lot more things after this spoken also. So, therefore, we'll discuss all that. But simply if you understand that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while discussing this particular part regarding the non-devotee's position, non-devotee is not only the person who is not chanting Hare Krishna. You shouldn't think like that. Often you will see people are chanting Hare Krishna and at the same time they also execute other things. Desires are still killing them and they are unable to come out of sinful life also. And one side chanting is going on, other side sinful life is also going on. So Chamsa Maharshi is warning here that kind of life will not go very long. After some time you will fall from your goal, you will fall from your direction. And therefore these restrictions, this discussion about non-devotees. So when we understand a non-devotee is that person who is doing these two things, chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in sinful life, he is not able to become a devotee. He is struggling to become a devotee, but he is not a devotee yet. A real devotee is that person who is able to follow this and come out of these things very quickly. He is a devotee who has escaped from these handicaps or these impediments or these restrict or these vasanas, what we have brought with us. And one who free oneself from that, he is going to be a devotee. He is the devotee what Chamsa Maharshi is talking about. Others are all still categorized as non-devotees. So that is why it is said that Shweta chayam krade tvam munivarava busham prinayande tapovi. That in different yugam, in different times in the history, particularly in the Krita yugam, what was the principle? Principle was that people were not to be told these things. These things what Chamsa Maharshi is saying here were not to be spoken even. Why? Already they had that high level of consciousness in them, that they were able to see things better. That's why it is said like that. Shejat shweta chayam krite tvam munivarava busham prinayande tapobhi. They have that strength in them to perform tapas. Tapas means austerities and penances. In other words, they never were to be told even that the goal of life is self-realization. That was not to be even spoken. Because even without telling them, they were going for it. For spiritual life. So that was the beauty of the Kritayugam. Kritayugam is that time when people, without being told, took to spiritual life. Without being told.
they take to spiritual life. In other words, when they have achieved the proper intelligence and health, bodily strength, immediately they realize that the purpose of life is to execute spiritual life and advance spiritually and realize the self. This message was not to be even discussed. It was so crystal clear to them. It was so clear to them that nobody had to teach them these things. That is Kṛtayugam.
Shweda chayam kṛte tvam munivara vabusho prinayande tapobhi.
And therefore, they were engaged in tapas, in austerities and penances. Then, when the time changed to Trayayugam, Kṛtam Trayada Dwabaram Kali, isn't it? Four yugam. When it came to Trayayugam, what happened?
Trayayam sruksuvangidam. Yajnarubam yajandem.
When Trayayugam came, little bit desire started coming inside. This is where the whole thing, problem started. When Trayayugam came, desire started coming. So, when Krishna realized that people have desires to fulfill, Krishna said, okay, if you have desires, execute yajnam, sacrifice. Make through sacrifice, fulfill your desires. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita also you can see, parasparam bhavayanda prema paramavapsyada. Engage in such a way, by performing sacrifices, please the demigods. In return, let them fulfill your desires. Because the desires in Trayayugam were better desires than desires in Kaliyugam. Desires in Kaliyugam are such hopeless desires, useless desires, that at least Trayayugam had that benefit. They had better desires. They were not engaging in sinful life. Without engaging too much in sinful activities, they were able to live a life in this world. And in response to that, Krishna says, execute sacrifice.
Trayayam suksruvanginam arunadanam yajnarubam yajande.
In the form of yajnam, sacrifices, Krishna gave the opportunity to serve him and fulfill your material desires. Because by now, our spiritual desires have got weakened. By Trayayam, spiritual desires became a little bit weaker. Now, what happens then after that?
Sevande tandra margaihi vilasadarigadam dwapare shyamalangam.
When by the time Dwaparayugam came, even that capacity and the enthusiasm for sacrifices also diminished. It came to the point that the doubt started coming to the mind, does God exist? Even to some degree, it turned into that way. This is how we became degraded from the Kṛtayugam to Kaliyugam. So by the time Trayayugam came and Dwaparayugam came, it requires the necessity to have the form installed in the temple for to be worshipped. So that Krishna felt that at least by worshipping my form in the deity form in the temple, let them engage in spiritual life in that way. So therefore,
Sevande tandramargaihi vilasadarigadam dwapare shyamalangam.
In Dwapara Yugam, this deity worship became extremely popular because of that. And then, by the time our glorious age, Kali Yugam came, what happened? We started questioning everything. This is the beauty of Kali Yugam, isn't it? Because we have got such a nice education system, which tells us you should ask all the time question, isn't it? And you got your own mind, you got your own intelligence. Why do you accept all these things? All these shastram and scripture and everything. What's the point? You got your mind, you got your intelligence. Ask the right question, they say.
Sevande tandramargaihi vilasadarigadam dwapare shyamalangam.
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says,
Neelam sankirtana dehi.
Only chant the holy name, that's all you are fit for. Nothing else than that.
Neelam sankirtana dehi iha kalisamaye manushastvam bhajande.
They should worship Krishna. Neelam means the beautiful form of Krishna. By what process?
Sankirtana dehi.
Simply by chanting the holy name in Kali Yugam, Krishna has given this concession. Because he knows our mind, we are so much fixed up in our so-called mind and intelligence. that nothing will go in anyway, because the mind and intelligence will put the block straight away. Isn't it? That's what the mind and intelligence does. So it says here, Neelam Sankirtana Deriha Kali Samaye. In Kali Yugam, don't make much arrangements, fantastic arrangements for spiritual life. Nothing will work. Why? Because Ikhagali Samaye Manushastvam Bhajande. They have this option given to them. This is all decided by Krishna. So Krishna's decision is that in Kali Yugam, as in the form of Mahaprabhu gave us this injunction, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Kali Yugam, this is the process. That is why at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Suda Goswami was Parikshit Maharaj was the last Dwadashaskandam, if you see there in the 12th canto, at the very end of Bhagavatam, what should I do in Kali Yugam? What should the people do in Kali Yugam? After hearing about the beauty of Kali Yugam and the glories of Kali Yugam, Parikshit Maharaj was told at that time, Krade Jadhyayade Vishnu Traidayam Yajado Makhai Dwabare Parijaryayam Halautal Harikirtanal. Kridayugam Dhyayade Vishnu, meditating on the form of Vishnu. Traidayam Yajado Makhai, in Traidayugam, performing sacrifices to please Krishna. Dwabare Parijaryayam, Dwabare, through the process of worshipping deities. Halautad Harikirtanal, the only process that will free oneself from this bodily identity, from this material attachment, from this identification with the body, mind, intelligence, senses, and to realize the self, that process is chanting the holy name. I'll stop there today. We'll continue Bhagavadam on the 30th of March, the last Sunday in March, because next 4 weeks I'm away, and we will continue with Karabhajana Chamasa Maharshi's remaining part, and Karabhajana Maharshi's discussions in the Navayogis at that time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.